And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Well, we have a great deal to discuss today. Let me first remind everyone that we are hosting the Stand Awards Dinner on Tuesday, May the 12th, at the Tysons Corner Marriott in Tysons, Virginia, and you are invited to come. As a matter of fact, because you are an AFR listener, we have 10 seats available as a result of the sponsorship of American Family Radio and American Family Association of our dinner. So there is an AFR table, and we are giving those tickets away to our listeners. So if you're interested in coming, it's a first come, first served basis. I'm not on daily, so I don't get a chance to promote this as much. I'm going to ask some of the other hosts if they will let you know that. But it is going to be a first-come, first-served basis, and we are 5 weeks away from the dinner now. So it means you've got really about three and a half weeks. You got about 3.5 weeks to reserve a spot. Now, if you wait that long, there may not be any tickets left because they will probably all be gone because there are 10. So I would encourage you to email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net. That's awardsdinner@standinc.net. If you do that and you get no response from us, call us at 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. Say, hey, I sent in an email. Nobody responded. It may have gotten lost in the shuffle or something like that, but just make sure that you follow through with us because we do have to send you some confirmation, a confirmation communication to let you know that we have, in fact, a place reserved for you. I would ask only again that if whatever, for what any reason, you come to that point and you realize, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it, please let us know well in advance so that, because technically you got about 3 weeks, let us know well in advance so that we don't waste a dinner. Okay, and don't provide a dinner for someone who is not coming. But other than that, we hope to see some of our AFR family there. And if you want to support us in some way, of course, go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us, and you can contribute, you can buy tickets, you can reserve a table, you can sponsor. However you support us, believe me, we are grateful, and please pray for us. And I want to, again, publicly thank the American Family Radio, the Wildman family, American Family Radio, American Family Association for supporting our efforts. Really very, very grateful to them. And thank you, thank all of you, because, again, we couldn't do what we are doing without you. By the grace of God, we do it, but God uses people, and you are the people that God is using to help sustain this very, very important, this vital work for our country. So thank you all. Okay. The first thing on my mind today is, you all know this, and I'm not sure what will be happening at the time you listen to this. It depends on how soon, this is posted on Wednesday. If you listen to it right away, it may, to some extent, be current on the topic I'm about to bring up to you. But since things are changing moment to moment, one never knows. But I'm going to try to make sure that this is relevant whenever you hear it. And what I'm talking about is the Iranian war. The president has been in apparently in intense negotiations with Iran. And he has now given them an ultimatum. That ultimatum, will it pass by the time you hear this program? It will have passed, because what he said to them, that by 8 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesday, April 7th, if they have not negotiated an end to this war, the opening of the Straits of Hormuz, that he is going to destroy Iranian civilization as they know it. Now, if I were they, I would take him seriously, because I think that he is serious. I think the president knows that these people are playing games. In fact, if you heard me talk about this before, I've said, you can't trust these people. They are inveterate liars. They are evil. The truth is not in them. And so they cannot be trusted to do anything. Everything that they agree to must be nailed down, verified. It must be backed up by force, because they are internally, incorrigibly corrupt. I think the president knows that, but I think he wants to give them every chance to come to their senses. However, given the fact that for the last 50 years they have played games with us, they've kidnapped our people, they've killed our troops, they've bombed our facilities, they've plotted assassinations against our people, they have committed terrorist acts on Americans around the world for 50 years, they have been pulling these shenanigans. And no president has done anything about it, really. And finally, President Trump is doing something about it. And par for the course, the Democrats, the Demoncrats, are really in effect siding with Iran. Now, let me say what no one is willing to say in the mainstream media, but needs to be said. These Demoncrats that are giving aid and comfort to this wicked Iranian regime are traitors to the United States of America. Now, it shouldn't surprise us, but it nevertheless needs to be said explicitly, because I've said many times before, they don't like our country. And no matter who we're up against, they will tend to side with whoever that is over our country, because they love every place else far more. They care about every place else far more than they care about America. They don't care about America, and they don't care about Americans. They are these people who live in the psychotic delusion that the whole world is a wonderful place, other than America messing it up. I mean, I'm serious. This is the way they see the world. I mean, from the very beginning of our history, you know, there would have been no slavery had there not been America. I mean, these dummies. And I have to call them dummies, because that is so stupid. Slavery existed before anybody thought of an America, of a United States of America. Slavery was worldwide. It existed in Europe. It existed in Asia. It existed in Africa. It existed on every continent on earth. Oh, but if only there hadn't been America. Oh, you know, slavery. America. So, yeah, you know. President Trump's motto is America first. The Democrat and the left's motto is hate America first. Hate America first, keep America last. So, they are accusing President Trump in this statement that he's going to end Iranian civilization. They're accusing him of genocide. They're accusing him of war crimes. So let me just, as a student of history, let me just put this in proper perspective. I wish these people would do some reading on their own. I'm starting a truth tour, and my first speech will be at Nutramax facilities in South Carolina on June the 18th, and I'm going doing one in Matthews in North Carolina on June the 19th. The beginning of my truth tour is called The Truth Tour, Facts About American History You Were Never Taught. And I'm going to get into some of these ridiculous notions that people have about the United States of America. And I think these notions are perpetuated by lying about our history, or certainly perverting it, skewing it, to make America look like the paradigm of evil, as if the world was such a wonderful place. And you know, as I said, the world was a Garden of Eden, and America came along and messed it up. It's so preposterous. This book, Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States of America, is an abomination. It's just one long tissue paper of lies. But a lot of kids have been educated on that. That's why they have such a negative view of their own country. But here's what I want to get to. What is the purpose of war? Rush Limbaugh used to famously and somewhat, of course, tongue-in-cheek, say the purpose of war is to kill people and break things. Well, that's what war actually does. That is not actually war's purpose. War's purpose is not to kill people. And war's purpose is not to break things. Now, war does achieve that. But let me tell you what war's purpose actually is for any student of military history. The nation that goes to war may have political purposes. Clausewitz, the famous war historian, said that war is politics by other means. So in other words, they would argue the purpose of war is to obtain political ends by use of force. So for one country, that purpose may be conquest of land. For another country, that purpose may be subjugation of people. Whatever the case may be. So I understand the political, I'm not talking about the political purpose. I'm talking about, so what is the actual end of waging war? Because war in itself doesn't achieve the political purpose. It takes war to make the achievement of the political purpose possible in some cases. But here's the real purpose of war. The real purpose of war is to break the enemy's ability and willingness to fight. That's the real purpose of war. It is so that those political ends can be achieved. It is so that the opponent lays down their arms, so they stop shooting, so they stop fighting, because the circumstance becomes so hopeless that it is no longer worth it to them to engage in the battle. The real purpose of war is to break the will to fight. It's to break the will to resist what that opponent, if you will, if you want to call that person or that country the aggressor, what the aggressor is seeking to achieve. It is to break the will of the other country's ability to resist their will any longer. That's the real purpose of it. Killing people is a byproduct of that purpose, because sometimes people have to be killed in order to stop them from fighting, because they won't stop without being killed. the reason for dropping the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the real purpose for dropping the bombs was not to kill Japanese. It was to break the will of the Japanese to fight. And it did. It achieved that, didn't it? It was not to destroy buildings. It was to break the will of the Japanese to fight, and it achieved that. That's the real purpose of war. Now, war has two elements. War is in part kinetic, bullets, bombs, hand-to-hand combat in some cases, although the president is committed not to put troops on the ground in Iran. But that's what we call the kinetic aspect of war. But war is also psychological. And you know, the sad reality is that these some of these profoundly misguided people in our country act like President Trump's psychological warfare is being waged against them. When the President of the United States says, if Iran does not come to an agreement to open the Strait of Hormuz, if they do not come to an agreement to end this conflict, he is going to destroy Iranian civilization. He's not talking about committing genocide, and he's not talking about committing war crimes. The only people talking about committing genocide are the Iranians who are putting women and children around power plants and women and children at bridges. Folks, the president has been very, very specific. The destruction of power plants and the destruction of bridges is a perfectly appropriate objective of war. Because what are you doing? You are breaking the enemy's ability to fight. If you've got no power, you can't fight. If you can't even move troops, you can't transport anything because roads or bridges are decimated, you can't fight. Or it becomes exceedingly difficult. Now, the Iranian people are not the president's target. Roads and bridges are. The Iranian people can rebuild roads and bridges. But what the president is saying is, you're going to be bombed back to the Stone Age. You're going to be bombed back to the point where you no longer have the accoutrements of modern life. If you've got no power, you're reduced back to fire and sticks. So this is what the president is doing. He is doing exactly what the commander-in-chief ought to be doing. He is trying to get them to finally say, you know what, we've had it enough. Let's just go ahead and reach an agreement with President Trump and the United States of America and be done with this. Because otherwise we're going to have little or nothing left. That's what the president is saying. He's not saying we're going to go wipe out the Iranian people. He's made crystal clear the Iranian people are not our enemies. He's not saying we're going to kill Iranian women and children. It is the Iranian regime, the mullahs, whoever's left, whoever's in charge, they're the ones who are calling for women and children to surround these targets that may well get hit starting by the time you're listening to this, may well have been hit. But, you know, I've heard these representatives saying the president is violating every moral principle of the United States of America. And, you know, when I hear a Democrat talking about President Trump violating moral principle, I think to myself, now that is rich. Now that is rich. When the party that has absolutely no morals whatsoever has got the unmitigated gall to suggest that President Trump somehow has completely vacated all American moral principles. Oh my goodness, if anything, President Trump has been doing everything he can to restore basic moral decency in our country. I mean, these are the reprobates, these Democrats are the reprobates who want some guy in a girl's shower with it all hanging out because he claims he's a girl. He claims he's a woman. And the Democrats are running around the country acting like you're fundamentally denying the rights of them. No, you are fundamentally establishing a basic moral principle. There are only two genders, and females deserve their privacy. So do males. But it's not male. It's not females invading male space. It's males invading female space. Surprise, surprise. Even in their sexual and moral confusion, the male of the species is still the aggressor. Well, lo and behold, even as they deny the reality of gender, it proves itself once again because the male of our species is indeed the aggressor. And please, these people want to tell me that, well, I know of a case. Yeah, well, you know what? The exception proves the rule. So I don't know what is happening or has happened as you listen, because they're Pakistan stepped in and has asked for a two-week cessation of hostilities, and asked for Iran to cease from interfering with sea traffic in the Strait of Hormuz, and asked the president to cease bombing Iran for 2 weeks as a result of that goodwill gesture. Now, my guess would be that the president would say, President Trump would say, I'll consider that, but you let them stop interfering with traffic in the state of Hormuz, stop interfering with that sea lane, and then I'll stop. He might, I didn't say he did say that, he might say that. Now, if that offer has any traction, as you're listening to me, the bombing has not begun. But I'll tell you what, if Iran plays games, I guarantee you, President Trump is going to give the go. And they will start this campaign to literally destroy the civilizational infrastructure of Iran. That's probably what he should have said. But, you know, the president doesn't talk in those kinds of legalistic terms. And he's a person who speaks with power, but not always with precision. And I heard a commentator trying to tell one of these Democrats that's just basically, you know, almost entered into a state of hysteria. I can't believe that he's going to commit genocide against the Iranian people. And I they're off their rockers anyway. But just going off. I was surprised the commentator said, you know what? Just calm down. Ratchet it down a little bit. Let's have a rational conversation here. Because the President of the United States is not talking about committing genocide against anybody. He never said that. He's made clear that's not his intentions. In fact, he's made clear that he has nothing against the Iranian people. It will not be President Trump causing the Iranian people to suffer, and they will all suffer if this happens. It is this regime. It is these leaders who are calling people, women and children, to stand around the targets that the president has already indicated will be hit. Now, you know, we talk about the fact that these Muslims, it's a male-dominated society, and obviously it is a male-dominated society because they didn't seem to be putting men around these things. They seem to be putting women and young children even. Well, I'll tell you what, that's some man. That is some man. Somebody's getting ready to rob the house and you stick a gun in your wife's hand, tell her, go out there and fight. Go out there and stand up against him. Let me know how it works out. Some man. I'll tell you. You know, these Islamists, when you come right down to it, the man who sacrifices women and children for what he deems to be a cause that deserves an aggressive response is a coward. If you think dying with these bridges and power plants is so important, you go out there and stand in them. Instead of the women and children out there, you go out there and stand in them. Folks, this stuff. But you know my view. Islam is all messed up anyway. Yeah, I said it because it's the truth. It's a pagan, idolatrous, religious cult. And I think we just need to accept that and deal with it and stop playing these politically correct games. And that's why for the last 50 years we've been having trouble with them, because they're evil. The culture's evil. Idolatry is evil. There's no God Allah. That's a pagan construct that Muhammad came up with. And you got a bunch of people following behind that, and it produces these results. You reap what you sow. You sow this lie. You sow this wickedness. You sow this perverse view of life. And this is what you get from it. You get brutality and lawlessness and just wickedness and exploitation of women and children and throwing homosexuals off roofs and all this. You get this. This is what you get. People blowing themselves up in the name of this pagan god, thinking that they're doing something that worthwhile, and they're going to get 72 virgins, all this kind of just complete and utter nonsense. And people believe it to their own death. I'll tell you what, I don't have anything against the Iranian people. And by the way, I don't have anything against Muslims. And I may seem like a contradiction in terms. They are human beings. God loves them, but their religion is wrong. And we as Christians don't want to destroy them. We don't want to kill them. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want to bomb them. We pray for them. We want them to be saved. Somebody's telling me about a book. I don't even know where I was hearing it, but a book written by a guy who has chronicled the appearances of Jesus to Muslims in the Arab world and seeing people get saved because Jesus actually appears to them. I believe that. You know why? Because I know Jesus loves them. He loves them. So, but yet you're in favor of President Trump bombing their bridges and bombing their... Yes, absolutely, unequivocally, without apology and without any doubt. Because you've got to break their will to fight, because they're a danger to the peace and stability and security, not only of the United States of America, but to the entire world. And it's time to put a stop to it. And I'm glad President Trump is doing it. So we'll see where all of this ends. I am so godly proud of our military and the tremendous competence and courage. Competence is understatement. Excellence. The extraordinary skill and ability that they have been exercising in addressing the situation in Iran. I mean, it is amazing. The same way they took out Maduro. I mean, amazing military feats. I'm so godly proud of them. I'll tell you, I'm just grateful to God that we've been blessed with such people who have the courage and the willingness to stand up for what they know is right. As I said, we've never been a nation of conquest, ever. We have always been a nation that fought for freedom, not a nation that fought to subjugate other people. That's part of our culture. And one of the great byproducts of this, which again goes to show, I don't hate the Iranian people, I don't hate Muslims, is that with this regime destroyed, the Muslims there would be, assuming they don't go right back into the same kind of system, would be able to finally live in freedom. They could continue to practice Islam because they choose to, not because you're going to get executed if you don't wear hijab. I mean, they don't even know how many Iranians this regime and their military has slaughtered, but there's somewhere in the vicinity of about 40,000 people that they've wiped out. They're committing the genocide, not the United States of America. But you know, it's interesting, these Democrats, they get all worked up about President Trump's rhetoric. They don't at all get worked up about people being murdered by these Islamists. There was a guy on today, Joe Abraham, whose daughter was killed by one of these illegal aliens. And he said that his congressman, his senators won't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Not an expression of sympathy, not an expression of empathy, not an expression of sorrow or sadness for the great loss of a father whose daughter has been killed in the prime of life. But they get all worked up because President Trump says, if they don't come to the table, we're going to destroy Iranian civilization. Oh, you can't do that. This is horrible, isn't it? I mean, they just break into cold sweats. Because it gives them an opportunity to point the finger at Trump and point the finger at America. See? But showing empathy for an American whose daughter has been brutally murdered by an illegal alien? No, they're not doing that because those illegal aliens are their future voters in their view, and they're not going to criticize them. They don't care if they kill a thousand daughters. I mean, when they had that big night of rapes in Great Britain, all the leftists are saying, you can't talk about that. That's Islamophobia. These Muslim men are going out raping these women, but you can't mention that to you. That's not right. That's Islamophobia. And criticize anybody who points it out and says, this is the nature of Islamic culture, and this is the way they behave. Because they think women don't have a right to be out at night. Women don't have a right to be out by themselves. Women don't have a right to be out without a man. And so she's asking to be raped. Yeah, folks, I'm telling you, you know, there's not just something wrong with the so-called radical Muslims. There's not something wrong with the so-called Islamists. There's not just something wrong with Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and ISIS and Hamas and Hezbollah. There's something wrong with Islam. And again, I am an American who believes in the Constitution, and you come to this country, you got a right to practice Islam, you got a right to practice Hinduism, you got a right to practice any religion you want, and I defend your right to do so, but I still believe you're wrong. In fact, I don't believe it, I know it. And I tell you what, I will fight trying to convert our culture to being pro-Islamic. Our culture should be Judeo-Christian. That's who we are. Now, that's a matter of culture. That's not a matter of law. That's a matter of culture. And these people want to come in like that's what the left wants to do. They want to change the culture. They want to change the culture to make it more pagan, more secular, more atheist. More Islamic is fine with them. Hindu is fine with them. Anything but Christian. Because Christian, that's terrible. That's Christians are like the Taliban. Well, that's just because the word of God speaks against their unspeakable evil and their sexual perversion and all the wicked things they want to do. The word of God speaks against it. And so they hate Christians, even though while we stand on the truth, we're not out to hurt them. We're not out to kill them. We're not out to punish them. We're just going to pray for them, but we are not going to agree with them. And most of us are not going to be afraid to say what needs to be said. If we don't say it, then we leave these people at the mercy of the devil, and he has no mercy. Now, look, we are new covenant people, not old covenant people, but I really believe that the warnings of the old covenant still apply in a different way, but still apply. And the old covenant tells us that God says to us, if we fail to warn the sinner against the sin, I just turned to it, Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning at verse 17, says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, you can't tell me that that does not say to us as disciples of Jesus Christ, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the nation and the world. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me, or hear a word from the Bible. Hear a word from me and give them warning. When I say to the wicked, a.k.a. homosexual, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, transgender, non-binary, the prostitute, the gambler, the drug addict, the drug dealer. Did I go on? When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. How much more clear can it be? It is not because you hate him. It is not because you're trying to destroy him. To save his life. That's in Ezekiel 3:18. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. So in other words, if you don't warn him, he's going to die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. I really believe that that means that when we stand before God in judgment to give an account for the deeds done in the body, the Bible says some of us will suffer loss. We'll suffer loss because we did not do what God called us to do. I believe that's one of the things that will cause us to suffer loss, that we were cowardly, that we were silent, that we did not speak up when we ought to have. It says, yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And I believe that means when you stand before God, no matter what criticism you've gotten from the world, from Hollywood, I saw a short with Richard Gere talking to some commentator, and he was lambasting Donald Trump and, you know, all these other, including Putin and Xi Jinping and how bad they were. And he said they missed the whole point, which is human kindness. I just thought, well, these people are so full of themselves and they're just so dumb. They're so spiritually ignorant that it's sad. And the thing is, they say it, they pontificate with such authority, as if the fact that they're actors and they made a little money acting means that they're somehow fonts of wisdom from on high. And as my daddy used to say, they're just as dumb as Jesse James was bad. In fact, they're probably dumber than Jesse James was bad, but that's another matter. says, you have delivered your soul, meaning you will stand before God. Although they hated you, they talked against you, talked about you like a dog. And when I was under a death threat and the FBI was investigating that this was a specific death threat, probably under some now, with people hearing what I'm saying, don't like it, and would probably love to take me out. But nevertheless, I'm going to keep saying what the Lord has given me to say. But when I was dealing with that, knowing that, yeah, it could happen. What happened to Charlie Kirk could have happened to me. That I would hear God say, not, why you keep your mouth shut, son? But we'd rather hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. See, I think that's what it means. You've delivered your soul. In other words, you have pleased God. You stand before God. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. See, we need more disciples of Jesus Christ in Texas while they're building all these mosques. And in places like Minneapolis, where these Somalis are just running rampant, just stealing money left and right. And these Somalis are Muslims. But I guess if you're stealing from the man, or you're stealing from the infidel, to be more specific about it, I guess it's okay. I mean, you can lie to the infidel. I guess that's okay. If you can lie to the infidel, I guess you can steal from the infidel, I guess. But where are the Christians? Where are the disciples of the Lord? Well, maybe I should be asking it that way. Not where are the Christians, because we know where many of the so-called Christians are. Nowhere. You know, sometimes I wonder, folks, how many Christians are going to be in heaven? Now, you know what I mean by that, right? I don't mean the true Christians not going to be in heaven, because we are. But I mean, how many people who call themselves Christians are actually going to be in heaven? As opposed to being in hell. Because as they said, they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. Well, how could you say you never knew? We were in church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe you were in church, but the church wasn't in you. So I have absolutely no apologies to make about the things that I am saying. Because I know that I know that I know that what I'm speaking to you is the truth of the Word of God. And we have got to speak it, whether the world likes it or not. In fact, I love this text because it's a warning. And I think really it is, in a sense, a litmus test for the authentic versus the counterfeit. The weed versus the true wheat. But it says, this is in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, next to the last chapter of the book, where John sees a new heaven and a new earth. It says, and John says, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But, listen to this, but the cowardly. Now, just pause and wrap your mind around that for a moment. The cowardly, but the cowardly. Now, how many people who call themselves Christians fit into that category? Are they really Christians? The Word of God says in the book of Proverbs, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Mormonism, Christian Science, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientology, the Unification Church. Need I go on? All of these cults, the Democrat cult. Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, they're going to hell. And that's not Bishop Jackson saying that. That's what Jesus is saying. That is Jesus speaking. Because that says, the Apostle John saw this vision. He said, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Said, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. He said it. Don't get mad at me. When your friends get, you tell your friends, you tell them what thus says the Lord, and they get the Bible says they want to gnash on Jesus with their teeth. They want to gnash on you with their teeth. Say, don't get mad at me. I didn't say it. I'm just the messenger. Jesus said it. What are you going to do about that? I can't tell you what you ought to do. You better bow the knee now to him. Because every eye will behold him, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know what that means? That means some people are going to confess him with a hook in their mouths. It'll be too late. But before they go to hell, they will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. These Iranian mullahs that are dying and going to hell now because President Trump is bombing them into oblivion, believe me, they're going to have to confess it. They're going to find out Muhammad's going to be in hell with them. And he's going to confess it too. Now that's just the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. So look, God bless each and every one of you. Again, if you want to come to our Stand Awards dinner on May the 12th, Tuesday, May the 12th, we have tickets available to you, two per person. We've got 10 at the American Family Radio table. I hope you'll take advantage of them. Just email us at awardsdinner@standinc.net. awardsdinner@standinc.net. And if you've done that and you haven't gotten a response, call us at 757-375-6444. In the meantime, you know exactly what you need to do. Based upon everything I've been saying so far, it just affirms the way I end this program every time. Stand up, step up. In other words, we're not going to join this cowardly crowd. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.